big business, big buyouts. Recording this on Wednesday, October 22nd at 12:45 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Todd Wright. Thank you for listening to my podcast. This is the non-fantasy podcast, the Todd Wright Toddcast, approaching 400 episodes. The fantasy football podcast is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, available on similar platforms, not limited to, but including JoeBucksFan.com. I have no affiliation with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I simply talk football here. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Brandon Legal Group and I hope you never have a need for legal assistance. However, if that happens, you can call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult at 813-902-3576 because they are a full-service law firm. Or you can request a free consult online. It's easily done at brandonlegalgroup.com. Plantation Palms Golf Club hosted my most recent sold-out successful golf tournament, my 52nd since I started doing this 10 years ago, with no plans to do more than one or two, and we've now done 52. Cannot do it without people like Jesse Pratt and his staff at Plantation Palms Golf Club. Since hosting my tournament, I've been back three times to thank the staff, to take friends with kids to the spooky mini golf available for public play through October 31st, and to hit golf balls and play some golf myself with a friend who is showing interest in the game. All of this at Plantation Palms Golf Club. Plantation Palms Golf Club is open to the public. You can book public tee times at plantationpalms.net. The spooky mini golf, which will be rethemed for Christmas once we get through October, is open to the public. The driving range is open to the public. It's also lighted, which you need to know with the upcoming time change. And Mulligan's Pub and Grill is open to the public, and you can book private events there even if you are not a member. There is a gate to the Plantation Palms community. The gate is always open. Okay, you do not even need to make a call, say why you're going to Plantation Palms Golf Club. You simply drive in. It is in Land O'Lakes, and I cannot say enough good things about it. Thank you for always letting me acknowledge my sponsors, and for those of you that actually patronize my sponsors, thank you. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Billy Napier is out, and what's interesting is he's out after a win. You know you waited too long to fire a coach when you fire him after a win. The goal is to win games. This is not to say that the win was an impressive win. In any way, it wasn't. But when you get fired after a win, and it's not even the end of your season, it shows you waited too long. They waited a year too long. When Napier won a game that supposedly he needed to win to save his job 2.5 years in or so in 2024 against SEC juggernaut Kentucky. That's the game you need to win to save your job. Nothing good happens after that. All you're doing after that is leading up to the next game that you have to win to save your job, which we went through a couple weeks prior to the game he won that couldn't save his job, when he allegedly saved his job by beating a Texas program that is just not where anyone thought they would be with Arch Manning at the helm, and a program that has played in the last two national semifinals. Two things about coaches, especially college coaches. Things you don't do. Beyond the business side, the buyout side, and all that. One, you don't let a coach play a game he must win to save his job. You don't. At that point, you just fire him. There's no ultimatum. Because You don't leave it to one game. If it's already to that point, it's already gone. You make the move. And second, I don't even worry about these interim coaches. You never rally around the interim coach because very little good happens in the long term. It might in the short term to finish the season. Oh, rah, 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 look at this guy, and the players rally around. Almost always it doesn't work. So I found it interesting that a friend of mine plays in my golf tournaments when Franklin got bought out. Speaking of waiting way too long, was worried about, well, I don't like who they promoted as the interim coach. It doesn't freaking matter. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. This year is over. It's who is going to be the full-time coach going forward, and I promise you it's not the interim guy. These big buyouts have been protecting most failed coaches, failed hires. So there's a lot of blame to go around here. The way to avoid it is by not guaranteeing so much money. Maybe the coach you're guaranteeing so much money to is not worth hiring then. Perhaps you should do something else. Because Texas A&M and Penn State and Florida, just to name three, are paying very large sums of money for failed hires. And I get that if you don't offer all this guaranteed money, they're going to go somewhere else. This is why, right or wrong, collusion works. It does. When the Cleveland Browns offered Deshaun Watson, when Deshaun Watson, through his agent, basically said to the Browns, yeah, we're down to four teams and now we're down to three, you're out of it. He doesn't want to play for the Browns. And the truck stop owner said, I'll see you that and I'll raise you a four-year, fully guaranteed break the bank contract. Sold. How'd that work out? No team has done it since. Nobody. Collusion. Because it doesn't work. That contract didn't work. It wasn't good for the game. These big guaranteed contracts to these big head coaches do not work. You can give me examples of coaches who do win national championships. This just in. There's only one national championship to go around. You used to be able to claim two in a year or maybe even three, and then you get the ha-ha thing that UCF did a number of years ago. Oh, by the way, that resurfaced recently. Not that UCF is doing anything significant in college football in the second run under Scott Frost. Scott Frost was really butthurt that Bill Belichick referred to their program as Central Florida. Really, Scott? That's what got your attention? Good God. UCF still wants to be referred to as national champions, and they don't want to be called Central Florida. Worry about things that matter. There's only one national championship. So you do have some very highly paid coaches who are producing them. Now, there aren't that many. With Saban's retirement, there aren't that many current head coaches in college football who have won national titles, because Saban won seven of them, one at LSU, six at Alabama. But the big buyouts protected a lot of coaches last year. It's why no SEC coach was let go, because schools don't want to pay these guys not to coach. They threw all these millions of dollars at them. The hire failed, and now they got to throw millions of dollars. They got to pay the bill and then pay the next coach, and they might just make the same mistake. I get it. If You're the school saying, well, if we don't do it, someone else will. That's why collusion works. If schools just stop doing it and basically say, hey, here's the deal. Here's how much you'll be paid. And if we fire you, we're not paying you for the remainder of your contract. We may pay you for the rest of that season, but we're not paying you for additional years. And if more schools did it and did more due diligence in who was the right fit for their programs, a lot of these programs would be better off. I'm just going to, for those of you that listen to this podcast, you know I have said for many years, and I've documented this, you can go look it up for yourself. I'm going to make it very simple. So Florida's last four head coaches, none have won an SEC title. None have gotten to the college football playoff. And during the time of those four coaches, go back and look at the players from the University of Florida who were drafted with NFL draft picks. And find me significant players, because this is now what wins in college football. Maybe it didn't used to in the 20th century. It does now. It's why in the last handful of years, the top of the draft is dominated by the big time programs that compete for national titles. How often are you watching the NFL draft and you're like, wow, there's another Georgia guy? Or a few years ago, wow, there's another Alabama guy? Or recently, wow, there's another Ohio State wide receiver. Who's winning the national titles? Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. That's what you need to make the playoff, to win conference titles, to make the playoff, and to compete for national titles. And Florida doesn't have that. They haven't had it in the last four coaches. Under Muschamp, McElwain, Mullen, Napier. Go back and look at the draft classes for the University of Florida under those four coaches. And specifically, just to cut down on time, look at the first round, players selected in the first round. I've done full podcasts on this. Go ahead and do it. Find any player from a draft class under Muschamp, McElwain, Mullen, or Napier drafted in the first round who was worth that first round pick. And we leave Ricky Pearsall out because it's too soon. It's a year and a half. So the last significant one for Florida was Richardson and Elam. And I think the answer is no, they weren't worth first round draft picks. But every first round draft pick since Pouncey, which was pre-Muschamp, has not been worth the first round draft pick and have been some of the biggest flops in the NFL. Florida doesn't recruit and or coach up top talent and hasn't under the last four coaches. That's the problem. Get the guy who can change that. Yeah, that's what you need to find, whoever that person is. I will say for those that are quickly throwing out some names, from some upstarts that are doing great things in college football this year at places like Vandy, Georgia Tech, Louisville. Their coaches are alums. And that makes it tougher to just say, well, he'll want more money somewhere else. The alum connection is a big deal. It's not ironclad. I can't sit here and tell you that the Georgia Tech head coach won't be the Georgia Tech head coach next year, that the Vandy head coach won't be the Vandy head coach next year, and Brom won't be the Louisville coach next year. Same with Mario at Miami. It's a factor. I can pretty much tell you Golish won't be the USF coach next year. He can triple his salary immediately and have a shot to win a national title going somewhere else. And doesn't have to wait for a new stadium And for USF fans saying, well, we're getting a new stadium.
Yeah.
And it holds how many? How many? You do realize how many stadiums in college football hold over 100,000, and you're building a new one to advance your program that holds one third of that? You're not big time. And you're not going to catch up. And Golish knows he'll get a better deal elsewhere. And he'll take it. Whether that's at Florida or that's at Wisconsin, that could be an opening. Hey, at least Florida had the money to buy out Napier, which apparently Florida State doesn't have that to buy out Norvell. Yet, as a friend and colleague in the business said recently about that. I'm not going to take this podcast to speculate on who at Penn State, who at Florida, who at UCLA, who at Virginia Tech, who at Wisconsin once the fickle domino falls. This is more about why this is happening and how the big buyout, it's much like, I'll end on this note, the big buyout to fire big-time college football coaches is their safety net, not only financially, but it also, can we all agree Napier coached at least 1 year longer than he should have? They weren't going to fire him after year two because that's too soon. It just, it looks bad. The next guy's like, well, if I don't come in and win an SEC title in 2 years, they're going to get rid of me. You get to a point where you can't do it too soon. But fair to say, halfway through that second year when he beat Kentucky, an amazing Mark Stoops is the longest tenured coach in the SEC with no trips to an SEC title game. And for those that saying, well, he's coaching at a basketball school. How good are you expected to be in Florida at Kentucky? Why don't you ask that at Indiana? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that argument doesn't work at Kentucky. But Mark Stoops' buyout is huge for a guy who hasn't gotten to an SEC championship game. Mm. The win to save Napier's job. The big buyouts protect these coaches the way the big dead money protects NFL quarterbacks. If they get that big money in a second deal and they stink, they still get years to turn things around or even just continue to play badly because the team doesn't want the dead money to count against future years of the cap. The exception, there's always an exception, was Denver, basically giving the middle finger to Russell Wilson and saying, get out. We'll deal with the dead money. Get out of here. We didn't get the Super Bowl quarterback, Russell Wilson. We got whatever you are now. And since then, Pittsburgh's gotten that, and New York has gotten that, and someone will probably get that next year. Denver dealt with it. But these big money second deals for NFL quarterbacks, often second deals, protect them from being benched, from being traded, from being cut. Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa. Kyler Murray, there's three. There's more, but there's three. Huge money. All three of those guys make more than Mahomes. All three of those guys make more than Mayfield. All three of those guys make more than Jalen Hurts. Why? Who are these teams bidding against? When the Dolphins gave Tua the extension, when the Jags gave Trevor the extension, when the Cardinals gave Kyler Murray the extension, who are they bidding against? Same with the Ravens. Lamar hit the open market. He never got an offer. I brought up the collusion because he was looking for the fully guaranteed deal. Atlanta really, really wanted to do it. They didn't do it. Instead, let's throw money at Kirk Cousins. Oh, yeah, and let's draft Michael Penix as well. There's a comparison there. It's too much of a financial commitment for too long of a guarantee that it makes you stagnant. And perhaps it lessens the incentive for the head coach to win at the college level and the quarterback to win at the pro level. I'm not saying they're tanking. But if you already know that money is guaranteed, it does change things a little bit, whether you admit it or not. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Plantation Palms Golf Club. Please email me any thoughts at Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, and I hope fantasy players also enjoy the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast.